Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But right now, we actually have some incredible things going on, and we should have a convention center and facility that matches the incredible things that are going on. So what do we have in this current convention center? An exhibit hall that is way too small based on the size of our market. It's half the size of what our market demands. We don't have enough meeting space. A ballroom that is too small and a ceiling that is too low, insufficient loading dock areas, not enough back of house spaces, total lack of openness and sunlight. This is a great place to go from the outside if you think you're in a prison. And it creates a dismal streetscape along Pearl Street. The building was outdated when it was completed. And as the years have passed, so has the convention business, as it sought communities with more amenable, bigger, and modern convention facilities. And that's the way it's been for over 40 years. And so, we were faced with a choice about the future of not only the convention center, but what we wanted from our tourism sector and whether we would stay in the convention business. It was truly time to act. We began by commissioning a study conducted by HVS Consulting, and you're going to hear a few different acronyms, to examine the issue from all the angles. It was in September of 2018 that we gathered here to present the results of that study, which provided a foundation for the community to explore several different possibilities surrounding a new convention center, or if we wanted to stay in the convention center business. The HVS study noted the convention center's lack of function space in relation to convention centers in comparable markets such as Milwaukee, Richmond, and Grand Rapids. The study also recommended a building program that would approximately double the current space and would allow the facility to handle more simultaneous events by offering more divisible function space, so you could actually have multiple events at the same time on the exhibit floor, and identified two potential sites that could fit the bill. Following the study's release, we conducted a public comment period in which 86% of the respondents said we must stay in the convention business and should invest in a strategic long-term plan that would create a state-of-the-art convention center for Buffalo and Erie County. The study also included two potential sites for a convention center: a completely new facility on Perry Street near the hockey arena, and the construction of a new exhibit hall on Delaware Avenue between Delaware and Franklin that would be connected by sky bridges and other buildings to the existing facility that would be renovated. That's what was recommended by HVS. Following that, a request for proposals to study the sites was sent out by Erie County to look at the HVS report and answer the questions that HVS did not answer, including to study additional facets of the HVS report, encompass historical reviews of the site, perform utility inventory and analysis at both sites, perform a comprehensive scoping of pre-construction needs at both sites, and, very importantly, prepare an accurate cost estimate for what it will take to build a new convention center at the sites. As part of that RFP process, we sent it out. We got responses back from across the country, and we were very pleased to bring in TVS and their partners, who you'll hear from very soon, to perform this analysis. TVS has incredible experience in the construction of convention centers, including, as they will talk about, being involved in some of the latest convention centers that are being constructed across our country. TVS was also charged with comprehensively assessing the condition of the current convention center while exploring the feasibility of the various plans that we talked about. They heard from many different local groups as well, organizations that use this facility on an annual basis, such as the Auto Show, the Home Show, the Buffalo Marathon, the world's largest disco, UB School of Dentistry, we wanted to get all the parties, or not all, but at least a broad cross-section of the parties locally that use the convention center. In addition, TVS met with a group of national conference and event planners not only about the challenge they face when they're trying to book clients into the current facility, but also what amenities are needed for a modern convention center to ensure it is competitive with our peer cities. It was a lot of work, and as you'll hear from Robert and Emery very shortly, the final product is eye-opening, exciting, and transformative. TVS tackled the issue and studied three potential sites. The two options that were originally analyzed and recommended by HVS, and a third option that was envisioned by the late Mark Croce. And at this point, I just want to thank Mark for his incredible, incredible investment in our community when others weren't doing it. And he was a good friend. He was lost far too soon. But we wanted to ensure that his vision also was part of the study that we performed, so it was included in the TVS study. So there were three sites that were examined. The Statler site, that was originally envisioned by Mark Croce and requested by the legislature, that included the existing convention center as well as potentially building on top of the existing Statler across the street, basically building a brand new exhibit hall on top. The HSBC site, of course, close to KeyBank Center, and the Delaware expansion site, the site that includes the block directly north of the Statler Hotel and is northwest of the existing Buffalo Niagara Convention Center. For reasons which TVS will soon explain, instead of connecting a new exhibit hall there by skybridge, or constructing a new exhibit hall there and connecting it by skybridges to the current facility as recommended by HVS, TVS came up with a much more grand vision, and this site became its own new option, the Delaware Avenue standalone site. Each of these sites had its own challenges and strengths, but as the study revealed, and Robert and Emery will elaborate on, one of them was a far better option than the other two. That's why I'm here today to announce the Delaware site, a 4.2-acre parcel bordered by Franklin, Mohawk, and West Huron Streets and Delaware Avenue as the preferred site for Buffalo's new convention center. The Delaware site is the option that presents the best return on investment in offering the most exciting transformational vision for Buffalo. The Delaware site has all of the strengths. A 125,000-foot exhibit hall is possible there, which would double the amount of exhibit space at the current convention center. It would increase meeting, ballroom, and back-of-house areas that are consistent with convention centers and similarly sized markets and provide a total of 450,000 square feet of space. Its close proximity to the existing restaurants and hotels and related amenities such as Chippewa, as well as the theater district. It allows for the potential revitalization of the historic landmark Statler Hotel across the street, which could see new life as this project. A new parking deck would be created as part of this project, placed at the site of the current convention center, which will stay in business while the new center would be constructed, and then afterwards will be torn down, which we'll go into in a little further detail, for various purposes. Because if we take the spot over there, which has substantial parking, we do need to replace the parking elsewhere, and this would be an appropriate location. It urban design, it fits the parameters of the Buffalo City Green Code. It fits well in the city block. And the current demolition, or the demolition of the current convention center, would allow the reopening of something that hasn't been opened in quite some time, Genesee Street between Franklin and Pearl. The Genesee Street extension would also allow the historic YMCA building to once again be fronted and visible on Genesee, rather than hidden as it is. In the last analysis and public comment, we heard from the public, don't tear down the historic Hotchkiss Lathrop House on Delaware Avenue that's owned by Howard and Mary Coons Goldman. We agree. So that's why we asked and had put in the report the cost, and it's part of our cost estimate, of what it would take to not destroy the house, but to move it. And the plan would be to move the historic house. The plan would also allow the current, as I said, convention center to continue functioning during construction, thereby protecting our market share of the conventions we already receive, keeping visitors coming to our region at the same time they then see this brand new facility being built. Cost. A preliminary cost estimate, and this is based on construction starting 2023, is of approximately $441 million. It is a big project. But it is only $3 million more than the cost for the Statler proposal, and as we will go into, that proposal doesn't work. But it's $160 million less than on the HSBC site. We thought that would be the least expensive option. It turns out, based on some significant infrastructure issues, it is not. So, with that, I'll let Robert and Emery go into greater depth on each of these options, why they came up with their recommendations, and why they believe, and I believe, the construction of a new convention center, standalone facility on Delaware Avenue is the best option for our community in the future. With that, I turn it over to Robert Svedberg and Emery Leonard from TVS.
Thank you. Thank you. So good morning. My name is Rob Svedberg with TVS Design Architects in Atlanta, Georgia. TVS is an international design firm. We do projects all over the world. A large part of our practice is convention center projects. So we've designed over 80 convention center projects around the world, including work on the five largest in North America, four of the largest in China, the largest in India, and the largest in Central America. So we know the building type, and it's what we've dedicated our professional lives to designing convention center projects. This was a large multidisciplinary team. So we were not hired for this study to actually design a building. We are hired to analyze these sites and understand both from a quantitative, from what the cost of it is, and a qualitative, what the pros and cons of the site are, what the best site for the convention center is. And helping that was a Buffalo-based interdisciplinary team of architects led by Bob Stark at CJS, and cost estimators, engineers, environmental consultants, and real estate appraisals that help pull all of this information together. And so the recommendation that we came to was that the Delaware site is the preferred site. Its main advantages from a cost point of view relate to the geotech and utility environmental advantages because the HVS site was more expensive. Parking, hotel inventory, and development costs, and the ability to maintain the operations during construction. Qualitatively, the advantages are building off of the existing hotel and restaurant inventory that exists in this neighborhood, and the potential redevelopment of the Statler Hotel, the urban design benefits of reopening Genesee Street, the compliance with the Green Code, and what probably can't be underestimated, the strong customer preference voiced for maintaining the convention center on this site. So interestingly, given the limitations of this existing building, it is very busy. And so it's operating at what in the business we consider full utilization. So when a building is in that 65 to 70% utilization range, you really don't have any open dates to do additional business because of load-in and load-out and holidays and other considerations. So considering that the limitations of this building, it's doing very well, and that's really a tribute to the service that both the CVB and the convention center staff do in keeping the customers happy. I think the other important thing to note is the importance of the convention center to the Buffalo economy, and that the 14 largest events in 2018 generated $27 million in economic impact. So our study was building on the HVS study. So we weren't redundant with that study, but we were kind of starting where they stopped. And where the recommendations were between 120 and 150,000 square feet of exhibit hall, and then the associated meeting room and ballroom space. We identified three sites, or we worked on the two sites they identified, and then the additional site that came upon through community input, which is the HSBC site, the Statler site, and the Delaware site. One of the complicating factors in the study is that the three sites are different size, and that means that they can yield a different size convention center on each site. So one of the things we considered is we had to take into consideration different size buildings and the different costs for those sites. So basically, on the HSVC site, you could fit the large end of the recommendation of the HVS site. On the Statler site, you could not achieve the low end of the recommendations for the square footage. And on the Delaware site, you could meet the low end of the recommendation of the HVS study. And so the next step that we did is we went and did what we would consider a test fit. So we wanted to prove the concept that we could have a building that would function on these sites, how it would lay out, and then use that information to consider what the cost of that scheme would be. So on the HSBC site, basically we start when we lay these things out with trucks. You have to be able to move freight in and out of the buildings. So we understood how the trucks could work. We satisfied ourselves that it was a very functional layout. The second thing we have to consider is how do we get people in and out of the building. And so the parking became a key location. So we located a large parking deck between the HSBC building and the convention center, and then we laid out the convention center spaces around a plaza. On the Statler site, we studied in depth the viability of maintaining the existing structure of this building and then building on top of it, and came to the conclusion that due to mainly the limitations of the floor-to-floor height in the space we're in, it really wasn't realistic to maintain this and then build additional building on top of it. So basically, we're recommending that to do this site, you would tear this building down, and you would go be out of business for the duration of construction, and then you would build up a meeting room level, a ballroom level, and then span an exhibit hall level across Franklin Street and across the low-rise portion of the Statler Hotel. The trucks would come off of Pearl Street like they do, and then have to go up a steep ramp to what is a functional but very tight loading dock that's elevated off of street level. So some of these were the negatives that kind of got charged against this site. On the Delaware site, what we did is we looked at just this singular block bounded by the four adjacent streets. And how do we get this site to work, the building to work on this site? And so we came up with a diagram that had the trucks work off of West Mohawk Street, entries on each corner. So from each intersection, you could get into the building and either into the exhibit hall or up into the meeting room levels. Meeting room stacked above the exhibit hall, and then a rooftop ballroom with an outdoor terrace that you could get some lake views from the outdoor terrace. So as we were very excited about how easily the building laid out on this site, the opportunity to use the design of this building to help preserve the facades of the Crosby Building and the three low-rise buildings along Franklin Street into the design of this project. And you can see an example on the screen of a Marriott Marquis Hotel we did in Washington, D.C., where we incorporated just the facade of the historic Plummer Building into the design of the hotel, and can give you kind of an image of how that could work here in Buffalo. So when we got to the actual buildings themselves, we had three different buildings that generated three different programs and three different sizes. So you had 360,000 to 522,000 square feet of construction. So what we did is we took this information to try to understand the building cost. What's the cost to construct the building? And we took a historical database of projects we've done, similar projects, about two dozen projects over the last dozen years, and came up with an average cost for that same project in Buffalo in 2020. And then knowing what we knew about the sites, we identified the premiums that would have to go into adapting that average construction cost budget to these sites. So I'm not going to get into too much detail, but for example, on the HSBC site, there are where that site is used to be canals, and there are drainage sewer lines, storm sewer lines that run under that site. So those would have to be relocated on that site. So we took that cost, which is unique to that site, into consideration. So the things you see on the screen that are circled represent costs that we adjusted due to the unique considerations of each site. Okay. So then we built that into an overall project budget. And this is going to be shared on the website afterwards. So I'm not going to get into too much detail here on this. But what we looked at is the top box is project costs. Pre-design cost, so land acquisition. The next box is what it would cost to build the building, so what the bid day number is. We allowed for soft costs, hiring architects and all of those things that unfortunately you have to do in a building. Contingency monies to get to what a construction cost would be, what the funding agency would have to fund to build this building. Below the line there, what we considered is externalized costs that may not be necessarily encumbered on the project, but are necessary to have a functioning convention center. First and foremost among those are the cost of parking. So, for example, on the HSBC site, there's currently 900 cars to park on that surface lot. Okay, and so if we would cover that surface lot with a building, we're displacing those cars. So we included in this box the cost to replace those 900 cars, plus we said we would need an additional 500 cars for a functioning convention center. The other large externalized cost has to do with the hotel capacity. There's a fairly robust hotel infrastructure on related to the Delaware site that you could reuse, and a more up-and-coming hotel capacity on the HSBC site. So even though the cost of the hotel would not be part of the project, the hotel cost is relevant to the development of the project and whether it's going to be successful on day one. So we took those costs into consideration. So basically, the number in red at the bottom of the screen kind of summarizes an apples-to-apples comparison. So what we did is we took the total project value that includes those externalized costs divided by the square foot of exhibit hall that each of those schemes would deliver. And so what you could see is that the surprisingly, from where we started in this analysis, the Delaware site was by far the best value and significantly provided a significant better value than the other two options. So from a qualitative point of view, a quantitative point of view, based on the numbers, the recommendation was pointing towards the Delaware site. So in addition to the math, there were pros and cons and features that are more subjective. And so what we did is we worked with the county, we worked with the steering committee, and we worked with customer groups to evaluate a series of factors that were determined to be important for the facility. And so as we went through and we rated the three sites based on these 13 factors, clearly the Statler site had a number of impediments to it being successful. And the Delaware site and the HSBC site had different pros and cons, but were relatively equal relative to the qualitative value. I'm going to highlight a few of what we considered the key issues. One of the key issues was what's compliant with your current green code. And so by right, you would have the ability to build the Delaware Hotel without any variances to the green code. On the HSBC site, the footprint of the building is larger than allowed, so you would have to have a requirement for the perimeter area to fit on that site for that larger building. And that on the Delaware site, obviously bridging over Franklin and potentially closing another section of Genesee Street would require variances to the green code, as illustrated here. The other thing that we considered is what's the embedded tourist infrastructure around each of these sites. So what you have to consider is look at the number of hotels around here, and if you step out another, if you zoom out additionally, you would see even more hotels. What the impact on those hotels would be if the building moved off of this site, and also what the impact, what the cost and delay would be to try to recreate this infrastructure on a different site. And so when you look at the HSBC site, we think that from an urban design point of view, there's a lot of potential here. There's a great character on that site and a nice energy there. But right now, the infrastructure is not there. So that's equal to this infrastructure. So we would have to invest in creating additional tourist infrastructure down there than exists now. The other opportunity we got really excited about as urbanists on this scheme is the ability to open up Genesee Street for additional block. And that's allowed by either the HSB site or the Delaware site once you tear down this existing building. Okay, and so the idea is how can we use this to improve the flow of the city? And so the idea is that you could open up Genesee Street. You could recreate the plaza, triangular plaza, that was there in front of the YMCA and the Statler Hotel. We've identified a location there, which is a potential relocation of the historic H&L house. that would be across from the tower of the YMCA site, we think is a very important site. And you would create these triangular plazas that you have all up and down Genesee Street related to the historic building and the plaza. And then you would have the remainder of this site to redevelop potentially as parking deck, additional hotel inventory, or other uses. I think that when you think of this site and the impact that it could have on the potential redevelopment of the Statler Hotel, I can't think of anything that would be more on brand for Buffalo and how it is perceived out in the world from a tourism point of view to be able to, as part of this project or in association with this project, bring the Statler Hotel back to life as a full-service, full-flagged, Class A convention hotel. I think that it gives the opportunity to save this building, where if you might move the building off the site, it really makes it a larger lift to be able to save the Statler Hotel. But I think more important than the historic preservation of it is what it means as part of a feature in your destination sales story. This would be a huge advantage that you would have over your competitive market. So people come to Buffalo to see your spectacular buildings, and they would come to Buffalo to stay in this spectacular hotel. I think one of the things that we did when we were preparing for this is, you know, I did a Google search of, sorry, I hope we don't have to pay royalties for using the word, but I did a search for historic Buffalo hotels. And almost 70-80% of them, the Statler Hotel was on the historic postcards. And I think the one on the lower right is really interesting. So what's the Buffalo's brand story? Its brand story is the historic architecture, Niagara Falls, and the wonderful industrial and pre-industrial infrastructure that's here. And so I think we were very excited about the opportunity to include the Statler Hotel in this conversation and how it can really elevate the overall experience that convention attendees have coming to Buffalo. Once we settled on the site, then the question is, well, what would it look like? And that was really beyond the scope of this study. This was more evaluating the site. So what we said is a few examples of projects we have done that show the general mass and how a building of this size can fit within a single urban block. So the building on the left is a building Emory was lead on in Philadelphia, opened in about 2011, Pennsylvania Convention Center. So if you remember the diagram that we showed on the Delaware site had exhibit hall with meeting room stacked on top of that and ballroom stacked on top of that. This stack is a little different, has meeting rooms, then exhibit hall elevated, and then ballroom stacked on top of it. But it's the same general height and mass as what we're talking about. So imagine this as the view along Huron or Delaware. I think it's important to note because the convention center you have now is a concrete bunker, that is not what convention centers should look like. If you go out in the industry and you see the very best of convention centers, they're glass enclosed, light-filled, delightful spaces that have a range of experiences and public spaces that allow different kinds of events to happen, right? And so when we recreate the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center, there is no scheme where it looks like your existing building does. It's going to look like a current, modern, fresh, light-filled glass engaged into the street structure. An example of that is the Music City Center in Nashville. This is a project that I worked on that we opened in 2013. This is actually taller than the building we're proposing here. There's actually two levels of meeting room, then an elevated exhibit hall, and then a ballroom on top of that. But it does show that the degree of character and how you can tell a destination story in a piece of architecture. So this is Nashville, this is Music City, and so there's a lot of design cues relative to music in this. If you look at it from satellite view, that shape you see is actually a mandolin, although everyone thinks it's a guitar. We're insisting it was a mandolin. And this is another example of how a convention center can be put to use as a urban design tool. This is a project that we opened in 2008 in Raleigh, North Carolina. The green line is a historic axis that ran from the old state capitol down to a lovely Beaux Arts Performing Arts Center. Sometime in the 70s, they built a convention center that blocked the axis. So this project was designed to reopen Fayetteville Street to allow that axis to exist, put cars back on Fayetteville Street because it had been turned into pedestrian right-of-way, move the convention center one block off the main drag, and keep it in one consistent city block. then the site between the building and the main drag was put back to commercial purposes. On the one side of Fayetteville Street was a brand new hotel, on the other side was a commercial mixed-use development. So this convention center is very similar in the size and scope to what we're talking about, 150,000 square feet of exhibit hall, 30,000 meeting room, 30,000 ballroom. It sits within one singular city block. It is open and active on all four sides of the building, and the view here is on Salisbury Street facing Fayetteville Street of the big civic monumental facade that in this case fits in the family of monuments that you could see in a state capital like Raleigh. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Patrick, and he's going to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Well, you know, clearly I'm very excited about this. I think this is an exciting day for Buffalo. The Convention Center project is one of the most significant revitalization opportunities for downtown core in a generation, and it's a necessary next step in building off of the momentum created in Buffalo over the last decade, from Canal Side to the medical campus and throughout the city. Today's announcement reminds me of being a five-year-old child, and when that Sears and Roebuck wish list catalog would come out, and I would start making all of my lists for Christmas. Now, it's not Christmas Day yet, and so we're going to have to wait for the anticipation to see what actually comes under the tree, but this is very, very exciting. The recommendation of the Delaware site checks off all of the boxes that I had hoped and dreamed for a new convention center that the staff of both VBN and the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center could market, sell, and promote. A fresh, new, modern facility. The ability to host larger conventions. The ability to host multiple events at the same time. The opportunity to host sporting events. The creation of outdoor space in the building as well as outside of the building. The preservation exposure of some of Buffalo's significant architecture. Continued utilization of the existing convention district restaurants, coffee shops, breweries, and nightlife. Our continued ability to utilize the current hotel inventory, which many opened up because of their proximity to the current convention center. The ability to bring back the significance of one of Buffalo's most significant architectural icons, the Statler Hotel. And finally, our ability to stay in business while a new convention center is being built. This is truly a game changer that Buffalo needs and deserves. As the original HVS 2018 study pointed out, that Buffalo is not fulfilling its potential in the convention industry. The current convention center is functionally obsolete. The current convention center does not have the capacity to attract most state, regional, and national conventions that could rotate into Buffalo on a regular basis. Buffalo will be out of the meetings and convention business in the next 10 years if something is not done with this current convention center. If you recall from the 2018 press announcement, I reported that VBN had lost over 780 pieces of business. Since that time, through 2014 through 2019, because of the aging nature of the building and our inability to host multiple events, that number has grown to over 1,200 pieces of business with an overall economic impact of $110 million. Now keep in mind, these are meetings that would have come to Buffalo if we had a newer, larger building and availability of dates. The current convention center has historically generated around $42 million of economic impact to our community. The HVS study estimated that an additional $31 to $35 million in economic impact would be generated by a new center. That would mean upwards of $73 to $77 million in economic impact to Buffalo, as well as over 200 additional jobs to the convention center. Since 2014, the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center, on average, has held 149 dates each year, been occupied 271 days out of the year, welcomed an attendance of over 273,000 people, and generated over 29,000 room nights. For a 40-plus year-old building, I don't think we're doing too bad, but as the HVS study pointed out, we are not fulfilling our potential as a convention destination. The proposed recommendation by TVS will allow for Buffalo to reach that potential, bring more meetings and events to Buffalo. Bring more people to Buffalo. Put more heads in our Buffalo beds. Bring more people to the doors of Buffalo's restaurants, nightlife, and cultural attractions. And finally, have a larger impact on Buffalo's economy. I would like to thank Erie County Executive Mark Pullenkarz for his vision and commitment to Buffalo and Erie County's tourism industry and the pursuit of taking our meetings and convention product to a game-changing next level. The hard work is yet to begin, but I believe in this project, and I believe in our industry, and I believe in the economic benefits this proposed new convention center will bring to Buffalo for generations. It is now my honor to introduce a former client to the Buffalo Convention Center, a member of the Buffalo Niagara and the Buffalo Convention Center Advisory Council, and hopefully in her new role with the American Institute of Architects, the opportunity to bring a larger convention to our community and to the new convention center, Lori Feynman.
Thank you, Patrick, and good morning, everybody. I'm actually here speaking as a meeting planner, speaking as a employee of an organization that is a national membership organization, and as a former client of Buffalo, had an enormously successful meeting here. We were all amazed at the attendance. Highest attendance of that meeting to this date is my understanding. And so my hope is that someday I'll be able to repeat that here. Buffalo is full of assets and potential. This building is not an asset anymore, but there is so much potential. And I look across the street to the Statler and what that can represent for Buffalo, for your appeal to national organizations. Buffalo has a lot of appeal, and that's something I learned when I was here with 2,500 people. And the weather was terrible, and people still got out because they wanted to see your buildings and they wanted to experience your restaurants. And that's what I want for Buffalo, and that's what this represents, this new building. And the fact that the plan is to do it here is enormous. From an urbanist standpoint, and yes, I work with architects now and I worked with historic preservationists previously. So that's the lens I'm looking at it through. But the reality is, no matter where I go and no matter what meeting you're talking about, they want walkability and they want convenience and they want downtown and they want vibrancy and energy. And that is all going to be here once this project's complete and that enormous asset is able to be put back online. And I am really looking forward to seeing it happen.
Thank you, Lori. I think you can see why we are so enthused about this project and why we believe that this is the best option for our community. What comes next? Well, I'll tell you what comes next. It's going to be a lot of discussions with our bond council, our fiscal advisors, to find ways in which we can finance this. We've already had some discussions with state officials about this. We don't anticipate this to be included in the current state budget, and I've told the state officials this, but we think that this is the correct option for our community, and we are going to need assistance from the state if we are to move ahead with construction of this new facility. As we noted, the dollars that were talked about, the $441 million, are all in. It's regarding acquisition of the properties. It's about teardown of the properties, moving of the historic house, construction of the new facility, and then eventually teardown of this facility and building of a parking deck, and the other options that theoretically could result from there. So this is, people like to talk about where we are in a game. I'm a former hockey coach. Still play hockey a little bit. I'd like to think we're somewhere in the middle of the first period. There's a lot more to go. But once we get to that point where we can receive a consensus in our community that this is it, we're moving forward, and raise those funds, we will do what we should have done in the past, which was have a convention facility that is appropriate for the new Buffalo and the new Erie County. I hope with everyone's support we will. Believe this is the right plan. I think we've accomplished what we needed to do with regards to the programmatic aspects, as well as meet the concerns that we heard from the community with regards to historic preservation. And in the end, I think this is a project we will all be proud of, something that we can say we were part of, not only a new convention center, but the continued revitalization of Buffalo in Erie County. With that, I'd like to invite also to the podium Patrick, Lori, Rob, Emery, if you'd like, and we will open it up to questions, if there are any, from those in the media. David. Hi, Dave.
$441 million, and you do say it would require a significant state investment. How significant? Are you looking for half of that, 80%?
I've already had conversations with our state representatives. We've sat down and talked to the governor's office. That is all to be determined in due course. It's very realistic. I'm not asking or not seeking assistance in this budget year, but remember, a capital project is different than an operating funds. And right now, the state is investing hundreds of millions of dollars in the Javits Center in New York City. They're investing tens of millions of dollars in Rochester. They just completed a new convention facility in Albany. The state, I believe, will be a partner in this project. To what degree is all part of the negotiation and discussions that will be continuing. Yes. First and then.
The status of potentially acquiring that land, is it too early to have those discussions with the owners, or is that something that's happened already?
It's not happened already. We did not want to announce those parcels because we were worried about land speculators coming in. But it is fair to say that we will be having those discussions in the upcoming future. We did not want to talk to the owners and then have them potentially sell it to an out of area interest who then would want to, at that point, jack up the price, is the best way to put it. So we'll have those discussions. We're hoping that the owners, and we have identified who those owners are, will discuss with us in good faith. Remember, there will be no acquisition of the property unless we actually have sufficient funds to move ahead with the project.
Does eminent domain factor into this at all?
It could. It's all part of the powers that we have. James.
How quickly, so this project doesn't linger like we've seen other projects in the past, how are you using this fast track to move forward?
It is the priority project right now from this administration. We have a lot of construction that we could do in Erie County government, but I believe when you talk about the projects that are Erie County related, it is the one that is going to be on the front burner. We have no choice. This facility, as has been noted, is functionally obsolete and outdated. And if we didn't do anything just to keep this facility going in the future, we'd have to spend tens of millions of dollars. We know the HVAC equipment itself, the estimate from a year or so ago was about $11 million. We know just upkeep that needs to be done across the facility is roughly $30 million. So we'd be talking near $50 million invested in this facility to keep it going when we're losing conventions and we're losing business opportunities. And I don't want to see that money going here. I'd rather see those funds go into a brand new facility that doubles the space. And this is something I don't know if we really mentioned, but it doubles the exhibit hall space. It increases the meeting rooms. It increases the ballroom space. We've tried to get, and Patrick and others from VBN can talk about it, we tried to get the NCAA volleyball championships here. They won't come here. Why? Because the exhibit space roof is too short. It's pretty tall, but it's even too short for the NCAA volleyball championships. So we want to be able to provide a facility that we deserve. You see a lot of these great pictures of other communities. You see what's being done. That's a beautiful facility in Augusta. That's a beautiful facility in Hartford. Well, with all due respect to the county executives in Hartford and Augusta, I think our community deserves a facility that's better than that because our community, in my eyes, is better than theirs. Can't wait till the next county executive meeting now. We are certainly going to continue to take public comment. I think you've heard we're going to be opening up for a 30-day public comment period. We took The statements we received during the last public comment period after HVS to heart, which was find a way to re-energize the Statler by not leaving the immediate downtown core, but don't destroy the H&L house. And we have put in for the $441 million the actual cost it would take to move the H&L house. We know that that is a concern. It was a concern of the Goldmans. And I know Howard and Mary, and I want to ensure, let them know that we're not going to destroy that. We want to move it. Because we think in the best interest of this community, we have to have a brand new convention facility. There's no doubt about that. And the best location is the one right across the street. When you do projects like this, invariably you're going to have older facilities, older buildings that will have to be acquired to build a facility. But one of the wonderful things about the proposal and the discussions that Rob and his team came up with is you can incorporate the design aspects. The Crosby building, you can incorporate those design aspects in a new facility. So while the Crosby building might not be there as an office building anymore, you still have the design aspects of the Crosby building. The H&L building won't be destroyed. It'll be moved. And I think that covers a lot of the concerns that we heard in the last round. And when we have this next round of public comment, I'm hoping the public will say thank you for responding to our concerns and coming up with a plan that is historically significant, helps re-energize the Statler, which is exceptionally important, because if we don't re-energize this community, this neighborhood, I should say, it's going to be very difficult to do anything with the Statler. And our goal is to re-energize that, ensure that we're meeting the needs of historic preservation in our community, and build a facility that we deserve. Sandy, you had a question? That's the plan. But I have to come up with the cash first. I can't just put a shovel in the ground unless I have a financing plan in place. You know I'm the former county comptroller, and I'm used to going out to the bond markets, things like that. It's not my intention for the county to borrow $441 million to do this project. So I need to have partners, and we're looking at various financing mechanisms, including working with the state as well as public-private partnerships that do exist in other convention facilities and other parts of the nation, including in our communities our size, that we could have here. Sandy. Rob, why don't you answer, if you could.
Sure. There were a number of numbers in the HVS study, so we want to make sure we're looking at the right numbers. So they, what they gave is a cost range for the HSBC scheme, and they gave a cost range for what they call the expanded BNCC scheme. And I don't know the ranges off the top of my head. I know that we were over their expected range on the HSBC site, and that was really due to the environmental impact, soil conditions, foundations, and some of the other things that we uncovered doing this study. We were within the range on the Delaware BNCC site. So, Marie, do you have those numbers handy? Oh, I'm too old to be able to read this without my glasses. But the expanded BNCC site was $280 to $343 million. So can you put up the slide that has the costs? And so I just want to make sure we're comparing numbers to apples to apples on the numbers. When I closed your binder to that page, so I was a bad boy. Sorry. Keep going. This one here. So that number would be comparable to these bid day numbers. So the hard construction costs that they were showing, what they were showing was hard construction costs. They were not showing project costs. So the comparable number would be the $257 for Statler, $306 for Delaware, and the $314 for the HSBC site.
It was important that we had real numbers. I didn't want to announce something and then say a year or so from now, well, it's actually $120 million more. We asked them to price it out as if construction started not this year, not next year, really 2023. They took into, as I said, all in, all costs for construction, as well as moving of the house, land acquisition, of course, demolition of the current facility, reopening of the street as part of it. I think what we've done is come up with a very accurate estimate on what this project will cost. And in the to sort of approach your question, Jim, about, well, is this going to happen, get the Peace Bridge, all that, that was the old Buffalo, which we fought for years and years and years. This is the new Buffalo. This is the new Erie County, in which we say we can get it done. Look at the projects that have been completed in this region in the last 10 years. 15 years ago, if you thought that any of those projects would have been completed, you would have said no. And we've had all these projects completed. This is a huge, as Patrick said, game changer. This is going to be a game changer for our convention and visitors business. When this facility was built, there really wasn't much of a tourism industry in Buffalo and Erie County. This was built basically to help the Statler and the Hyatt. Now we have this very strong tourism sector, very strong. It's one of the key sectors of our economy. When this facility was built, it wasn't even thought of as a sector of our economy. We're going to take that key sector and we're going to make it grow. We're going to create jobs with the construction jobs associated with this project. We're going to create jobs with the new jobs that are being created as a result of the expansion and the construction of the new facility afterwards. We're going to create jobs that are as a result of people coming here, more conventions, bigger conventions. Just think about this, folks. The current facility is about 60,000 square feet, exhibit hall. Double that. That's what you get in the new facility across the street. You can have multiple events going on. You can have bigger events. Patrick's right. Paul knows it. I get the reports on a quarterly basis. We are losing business that we should get. People want to come to Buffalo. They want to hold their convention here, and then they look at the convention center and say, it's too small, it's too antiquated, we go somewhere else. What does this community have that they don't have elsewhere, that our friends in Augusta, Hartford, and other words don't have? It's right in the logo of the convention and visitors, or convention center in Buffalo, Niagara. Niagara Falls. We have Niagara Falls. Every other part of the country would love to have Niagara Falls. We deserve to have a convention center that's right for Buffalo, it's right for Niagara Falls, and I guarantee you, we will not regret it.
I know we have sort of a preliminary level-by-level design here, but when should we expect to see more specific design renderings along that?
Well, once again, we have to confirm that we have the sufficient funds to move ahead with the project. If we do, then we would actually hire architects to do a grand actual design. The pictures that you see of the other facilities are not to indicate exactly what the Buffalo Convention Center would look like. So I know I'm going to see it on some website that they've already designed it. Here's what it looks like. And that's not the case. That would come later. And that would come once we feel confident that we have sufficient funds to move ahead with the project. But that's one of the reasons why shovels in the ground are planned for 2023, because I've got to find the mechanism to raise the money for this project, and then we also have to design it. And you don't start putting shovels in the ground until you've actually got the designs at least moving along and you know have the funds to do it. There's a question over here.
Yeah, there's a likelihood about a new Bills stadium as well, or refurbishing the current one. How does that work in being able to fund both of those almost in the same time?
I look at it, we can do it. We are already, let me backtrack. When it comes to the football team, we always have discussions with the team. We own the current facility. We meet on a quarterly basis to discuss the issues associated with the current facility. As everybody knows, the Pegulas commissioned their own report from AECOM to take a look at, I might have said the wrong name, to take a look at what is their internal aspect of what they believe is necessary, whether there should be a renovation or a new football stadium. We kept the team apprised of our moving ahead with this project. We advised them before we announced it today about the project. They look at it just like I do. The football stadium and the convention center are two separate projects.
Mark,
We'll go back to... I don't know when he did the analysis because he's never in the office because he keeps on driving around the region, truthfully running for Congress. And having seen the analysis from the comptroller's office, it's not worth the ink on the page. I will say this, as I noted, it's not our intention to go out and get a $441 million bond. Perhaps if the comptroller did his work instead of jumping the gun to try to get his name in the media, he'd actually have some credibility in this community. David? Not at this point. I think that's totally premature.
Buffalo. No. I think it's really important that the building tell the destination story. That's one of the reasons it's premature to jump into design at this point, because telling that destination story includes working with the entire community to understand what that story is. So I think that's part of the design process, is how we tell a story of a building that's unique to Buffalo, just like all these other glorious buildings are unique to Buffalo.
Mark, what are the issues in Texas? Talk about this. The convention business employs what, 32,000 people plus or minus?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, that's the.
But the problem is, unlike the court pay or the GM pay, the city cars, if you're having dinner and restaurant, you don't go first in the next table for Amherst, New York, or Amherst, Massachusetts. Is there a way to
This is one of the reasons why when we came up with our economic strategic plans, initiatives for smart economy, we identified as the tourism sector as a key sector and brought and identified how much money it brings in. Yes, it's not the same as a car coming off the assembly line, but look at every one of those hotels. The person from Amherst, New York is not going into a downtown hotel. Maybe they're going in the mansion for a weekend. But all the other hotels that are being occupied, it's not the person who lives here who's going into it. It's the person from outside this area who's going into it and who's coming to here. The restaurants. We heard from the restaurateurs in this area, if you move from here, you pretty much shut down my restaurant. Because, yeah, I can get some foot traffic during the day from workers, but in the evening, it's generally people who are staying here who are going to my restaurant. So it's not the same thing as showing a car coming off or the parts coming out of the Ford plant or the engine out of the GM plant or any of the other manufacturing type of facilities we have, but it is a very important part of our economy today. And if we ignore it, it will be to our detriment with regards to the strength of our economy. Sandy, you had a question?
Sure. So if you go to the pros and cons on the ranking, so one of the differentiators between the two sites was that there was not additional capacity on the Delaware site for future exhibit hall expansion. There is adjacent capacity for additional meeting room, ballroom expansion. And one of the big trends in the industry right now is increasing meeting room, ballroom demand and actually slightly decreasing or flat exhibition hall of demand. So we feel confident with this recommendation that this building will serve Buffalo for multiple decades to come, given its current size. And so while ideally you would have a ability to expand, we think that the benefits of being within your existing destination ecosystem, outweigh the ability to expand the just simply the exhibition hall in the future.
It absolutely is a growing business. In 2018, Oxford Economics, the tourism division, did a study on meetings and convention business and showed that it is actually up 24%. It's a misnomer that people feel like they don't have to meet face-to-face because of technology. The importance of meeting face-to-face is still very important, as Rob mentioned, that the exhibit floor space might be flat or diminishing, but in our case, it'll be the right size for it. But the meeting space, the other ancillary meeting space, is still very important. So the need to meet is still absolutely there. Our Customer Advisory Council last year also confirmed that. They said they are planning more meetings through all of their programs. And so we're hearing from the industry and through reliable research that, yes, the meetings and convention business is growing.
So you're pretty confident around chasing a business that maybe over time, even in the next decade, is really not going to be there.
Absolutely not. Even millennials are saying they want to meet face-to-face. They see and recognize the importance of that face-to-face interaction with their peers, with their colleagues, and to gain more knowledge. So it's absolutely there.
Yes, Jim. I'm not the right person to ask that question.
You would suggest 30 to 36 months as a construction window for a project like this? And that can overlap with the design window depending on the delivery method. So it's that's a simple answer to a complicated question.
Sandy, you had another question?
I was just wondering where we can find the study.
It will be on the website.
But it's not up now.
It should be.
Oh, I just confirmed it.
Okay.
It is on the Environment and Planning's website. I'd like to thank the staff from the Environment and Planning and Public Works who worked very hard on this. Our new friends at TVS for the work that they did, Rob and Emery, and of course Rob from CJS on the local front. Of course, Visit Buffalo Niagara and the Convention Center Authority for their participation in this project. And I want to specifically note the Deputy County Executive Maria White for all the work that she did. And she did do a lot, especially yesterday when I was in Albany with other county leaders meeting on the New York State budget. She was basically ensuring that this I had a presentation to provide myself, and I thank her for that. With that, if there are any other questions, we'll take it to the side because I know it's going to get a little loud in here soon with the National Federation of Just Communities luncheon, which is going to start, I think, at 11:30. But just leave it with this, and this goes to Jim's point. In the past, there were announcements and things like this on big projects, and they never went anywhere. You can talk to the people, the county executives, the mayors during those times, and ask them why they didn't get it done. But if you want to talk about getting things done, you talk to us now. I'm not going to be held responsible for things that weren't done 25 years ago. But we get things done in the New Buffalo and the New Erie County, and it shows. I'm proud of the work that we've done to this point so far. There's a lot more to be done. As I said, we're in the middle of the first period, and we're going to win this. We are definitely going to win this. We're going to get it done. We're going to have a convention center that we are proud of and can be proud of. And when people walk in to see it, they're not going to shake their head saying, I thought Buffalo was on the way up. I can't believe they have this old facility. They're just going to see it and say, yeah, that's the facility that this community deserves to have, and I'm proud to hold my event here. Thanks, everyone.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!